so much.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the call today on persuasion, motivation, and influence. My name's Kurt Mortensen, and hopefully you're able to get in. And we're going to get this one recorded. Last week, I had a lot of challenges getting in and getting it recorded. There wasn't even a recording from last week, although we did have a call. I'm not sure what's happening there. The good news is, coming this fall, we're going to go to a GoToWebinar format. So stay, keep the posts on that as far as you'll have the visual and the audio. That'll happen sometime this fall. And if you ever want the recording or have a question or something strange happens, or there's something you want to hear on the call, your website is whypersuasion, W-H-Y, whypersuasion.com. Recording going on. And when we move to the GoToWebinar format, that's our goal. That's what we want to do. And, of course, the format for this call, just want to spend a few minutes talking about a persuasive technique and then give you some homework so you can apply it this week. And then I'll open it up for any questions about what we talked about today or things you're running into in the world of persuasion and influence. Today I want to go a little deep, talk about human nature, and talk about meta-programs, M-E-T-A, meta-programs. Now, this comes from the world of NLP, if you studied NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. It's kind of how the brain thinks. We need to really understand how people think. Now, what a meta-program is, it's a habitual pattern commonly used by an individual in most situations. It's how we think. It's how we see the world in most situations. Now, if you've studied the law of connectivity, we know that people feel more connected to you when they feel similar to you. And when you understand how they think and how they see the world, and you can adapt your persuasive methods, people will like you better, trust you more, and the doors of influence will swing wide open. And that's the goal here, really understanding. Because remember, the big blunder is that most people tend to persuade how they like to be persuaded, and that's wrong. We need to persuade others how they want to be persuaded. The reality is a meta-program is how we see the world. So let's talk about this. And, of course, at any time, break in with any questions that you have. So a meta-program is this mental program in our brain. It's kind of a filter we have. You've heard the term seeing the world in rose-colored glasses. There's no right or wrong there. It's just we see the world differently. We think differently. That's kind of how it's all set up. We kind of have a stored pattern in our brain, how we see things as part of our personalities. And the reality is, people who do studies on meta-programs have identified over 50 of these. And I want to talk about a few of these today that can really help to adapt your ability to persuade and influence. So let's talk about a few of these meta-programs that you can learn right now that you can adapt. Because, again, we all think differently. You can have five people see an accident. They all saw the same accident. They'll see, hear, and describe five completely different things. Now, they're not lying. They just absorbed it in a different way. They have different filters. It's part of that meta program. Let's talk about a few of these. It feels like someone's in a car with a window down. If you want to hit star six, I believe that will put you out. If there's any background noise, star six will put you out. So let's get into it. First meta program is inspiration versus desperation. Different ways. Some are motivated by inspiration, some are motivated by desperation, and you need to figure out which one they are using. Because when you can do that, you can connect with them, you can change your language, and you become more persuasive. So here's the difference. Now, someone that has desperation. They're always in desperation. They're always trying to get away from something. They're stuck in the past. They want to avoid punishment. When they're in desperation, you want to stay in desperation. You have to talk about, okay, what are they moving away from? What's the worst thing that's going to happen if they don't? There's a lot of fear there. They're moving away from something. You're not going to want to talk about inspiration when they're stuck in desperation. They have a lot of pain. That's where you need to stay. You can hear it in their language. You could hear it in their voice. They're in desperation. That's how a lot of people see the world. They're always going to be in desperation, and that's how they're motivated, and that's how they'll be persuaded. They don't care about 5 years down the road. They have pain right now. They have desperation.
versus the person that's an inspiration. Well, let's review real quick. The person in desperation is trying to get away from something. They're stuck in the past, and they're trying to avoid that pain and that punishment. On the flip side, the person in inspiration, they're moving towards something. They have hope in the future. They're motivated by reward and esteem, something they're going to get. They're excited about the vision and the future and what's going to happen. They have a lot of hope. Some people are naturally more optimistic, have more inspiration, and that's how you need to persuade them. They don't care about the fear, what could happen, and the desperation. They are excited. They have a reward. They're moving towards something. And when you can see that meta program, which one they're using, you need to use the same one when you're persuading them. Are they using inspiration or are they using desperation? Another meta program we see is internal versus external. Let me explain that. Now, internal people, the way they think, the meta program, is they go off what's inside, internal, that instinct. Okay? They want to know how it's going to make them feel. They have the gut check. They're more concerned about their feelings than what other people think. That is the big difference. You can show them all the data in the world, but if it doesn't feel right, it doesn't matter. They're very internal people. They want to know, if you show them a product or service, it's how that makes them feel that's more important than anything else. Versus the external person, they want the research. That's more important than how it makes them feel. They want to see the statistics. They want to see the numbers. They want to know what other people think. They want to know what other people are going to think when they buy that product or service. They're going to do a social check. The social validation is very, very important to them. So they're more about the external things, what's outside, what's happening, versus how it makes them feel on the inside. Now remember, no right or wrong here. We're all different. We all have different perceptions. We all have different filters. Your job as a persuader is to adapt to their filter. Another one we see is specifics versus generalities. This is a big division here. Some people love specifics, and some people don't like all the specifics. They want the big picture, the generalities. So one thing you can do with people that want the specifics, you can tell with the way they talk. They want the details. They want to know the exact amount. They want to know the numbers. They want to know the statistics. They don't care about the big picture. They want the specifics. Get to the point with this type of person. Versus other people are more about generalities. They don't want the specifics and the nitty-gritty and what to do today. They want to know what's going to happen this year. They want to know the big picture. They want to just estimate for them as far as what it's going to take as far as time or investment. That's what they're looking for. That is how they think. Now, another interesting meta program you'll see is what we call same versus different. This one's really interesting. If you put $4 bills, put them on a table, and the top three were facing up, had George Washington, their $1 bills, George Washington, George Washington, George Washington, and the fourth one was upside down and had the back of the dollar bill. You show these to people, half the people will say, say, what do you notice? Half the people say, well, this one's upside down. The other half will say, no, well, these three are all the same. They just notice different things. So the people that do the same, they're looking for similarities. How's it in common? Have I used something like that in the past? How does it match? What is the pattern? What can I recognize? That's what they like. They're looking for those similarities. That's how they think. Versus the other half are looking for what's different. How is that opposite? How is that different? What are these discrepancies? This one is not like the others. If you remember the one on Sesame Street, which one of these is not like the others? That's what they're looking for versus how they are the same. Another one you'll notice out there is introverts versus extroverts. Now, we do know that introverts out-persuade extroverts, more because they come across as consultants, but we're different. We're programmed differently. And you need to adapt that in your ability to persuade. For example, extroverts, they love to communicate. They will pop in. They're public people. They want face-to-face contact. they will meet you in their lobby. Their desk is probably cluttered. They're fast decision makers. They love spectator sports. They need to be around a lot of people. That's who they are. Now, to an introvert, it drives them nuts because they're always popping in. They always have to do lunch. You always have to see their face. Why can't you just send an email? Can no right or wrong, we're just different. That's what extroverts need. They need to see your face. They're public people. They want the face-to-face contact. That's how you need to influence them. Versus introverts, keep feelings inside. They work alone. They work solo. They love memos. They love emails. They love solo sports. They're very loyal. They're good listeners. They don't need all that social interaction that an extrovert needs. And they're okay with that memo, the email, the fax, however you want to send the information. They don't need the pop-in. In fact, they hate the pop-in. They don't need that much social interaction. You need to adapt and see and adapt your ability to influence them. What you're going to see, especially in a negotiation situation, is the logical person versus the emotional person. Okay, there's logic and there's emotion. They're very, very different. Okay? Very, very different. So let's talk about the logic versus emotional. Now, logical people, they use their head. They want to know the facts and statistics. They want to know the past history. They have a calculator on their watch. They want to know the details. How does it work? That's what they need. Statistics and the facts and the studies. Versus the emotional person, they use their heart. They're swayed by emotions and stories. They follow their intuition. Different. It's just very different. Now, what you probably already figured out, or hopefully you figured out, that one of the meta programs is men versus women. Now, you probably figured out now that men and women, they think differently, they act differently, and some people say that men and women aren't designed to live together because we do think differently. Now, this is generic. Now, all men are this way, not all women this way. Let's shoot down the middle. The way you persuade a woman is very different than a man. Let's talk about some meta programs here, the differences there. Now, with men, keeping the language very simple is more persuasive. With a man, you don't want to give them a lot of unsolicited advice, tell them what to do, because they don't like that. With men, they love praise. They respond very well to praise. And men generally need space to work out their own problems. Men, especially, when they sense that you're trying to persuade them to do something, they'll resist you more than women. Even though it's a no-brainer, even though they know deep down they're supposed to do it, they'll resist you. So if you can help them persuade themselves, give them a little space to figure it out on their own, well, crank up the praise, it goes a lot further when you're persuading either men to men or a woman persuading a man. Now, with women, when you communicate, need undivided attention. They don't necessarily want a solution unless they ask for it. And that's the problem with men and women. Men just all, oh, here's the solution. And women might not be exactly looking for a solution. They're looking for someone to talk to. They love a lot of eye contact. And the worst thing you can do when communicating or persuading with a woman is tell them that their feelings are wrong or they shouldn't feel that way because they are. And that's something you want to really avoid as you go down this path. And remember, there are over 50 meta programs out there. Your job is just to get a feeling of how they see the world, how they think. What is their personality? I ask people all the time, what is the best personality to have? And it gets really quiet because everyone thinks that it's their own. And I'm okay that you think that way, but remember, we're all different. That's what makes the world great. You need to learn to adapt and read and understand people. Remember that big blunder. You persuade others how you like to be persuaded. And when you can see their meta program, when you can see their filter, it really helps you adapt and connect and build trust, especially with people you're meeting for the first time. Now, other additional meta programs they've identified is victim versus ownership. Some people are always the victim. It's always, you know, poor me, this is happening to me, and there's people to blame, and this is going to happen, and they think like a victim, and you need to persuade them like a victim. Versus the flip side is those that take ownership. Okay, my fault. Move on. Let's take ownership here. I need to fix this. I need to change it. Versus There, another meta program is past versus future. Some people are always thinking about the past, stuck in the past, what happened in the past, versus some people are always thinking about the future and the vision, what's going to happen. No right or wrong, it's just how some people are programmed. Is it nature? Is it nurture? It's a little bit of both. There's a lot of the things that go into our feelings and our attitudes and our beliefs and how we're programmed, and we're just different. That's all you need to understand. Some people think about what's the cost versus other people think what's the convenience. Some people are so worried about the cost. What's the cost? What's the cost versus the other people? They don't care about cost. They want to know the convenience, how it's going to solve their problem. Then another meta program is change versus status quo. Some people are always changing. They want to change. They're moving around. They hop from job to job. They never finish the project. What's next? What's new? What's different? That's how they think. Versus other people need the security, the status quo. They work for a job for 40 years. It drives them nuts to change. They watch the same television programs. They play the same games. That status quo, that's what they need. Yes. When we talk about these meta programs, I can't hit it hard enough that it's just different. Just because people think differently than you doesn't make it wrong. It's just different. That's all it is. So when you can really get in and see how they think, and learn some of these meta programs, it will open the door to persuasion and influence. You will see a big difference in your ability to connect with people and to understand people and to build trust with people. And you can instantly do this. When you start talking to people, you learn to pick these up pretty fast as far as the way they're talking. You're not going to look at all 50. You want to pick one or two and see if they're the type of person that's always going to be pessimistic versus the type of person that's always going to be optimistic. That type of thing. Now, the biggest one, in fact, the one I want you to work on this week, probably that'll help you the most in a persuasive situation when you're attempting to motivate someone to do something, is the first one we talked about, inspiration versus desperation. Because if somebody's in desperation, you try to use inspiration to persuade them or motivate them, it will backfire on you. It's different. It'll repel them. So when you look at your product or your service and what you're doing, what I want you to do is list 5 worst-case scenarios. What are the worst things that could happen to them if they don't use your product or service? Is it going to affect their health, energy away? Is it going to cause them to go bankrupt? Is it going to have they need dog food when they're retired? Whatever it is, that's their pain worst-case scenario. Then on the flip side, list 5 of the best case scenarios with your product or service. What is it going to do? Give them more energy. It's going to make them financially independent. They'll spend more time with their children. They'll have more time to give to a charity. That's the pleasure side. And as you hear them talking, remember, with desperation, they're moving away from something. For an inspiration, they're moving towards something. You can see it in their demeanor. You can hear it in the words they use. You'll be able to pick it out probably the first 30 seconds, and then from there, if they're in desperation, stay there. Use the pain, or if they're in inspiration, use the pleasure. Just adding that one technique, understanding that one meta program will go a long, long way. So that's a quick overview of meta program. Do the homework. Understand it. Don't be so concerned about what you're going to say next. If you can truly listen with your ears, your eyes, and your heart, you'll be able to understand their meta programs, connect better, and build better trust, and you will become a master persuader. Any questions about what we talked about today?
No.
Did it make sense? You still with me?
It sure did.
Okay. Any questions about things you're running into during the week, or the replay lines, or anything I can help you with?
You might go over the homework again.
Okay, you bet. What I want you to do is, tell me, what is your main product or service? Let's talk about it.
Oh, USANA.
Okay, so USANA, it's a network marketing, and it's a health product, right?
Right.
So, let's talk about the desperation or the pain. So when you're talking to someone about health, the desperation or pain is they're not sleeping, they're going to die early, they have no energy, they're falling asleep at work, they're going to get fired, they're not going to be around for their grandchildren, And so when you're talking to someone, you can hear them that, man, I have no energy anymore, I can't work out, I don't have this, and you can tell they're in desperation mode, that they don't feel well. And if you hear that, those are the type of things that we'd use. That's the desperation. Those are the type of things that we'd list. The worst case scenario, if they don't take your nutritional product, they're going to go on a limb, they're going to get cancer, and they're not going to sleep at night, and they're going to die early. And those are that's the desperation. Versus the inspiration side is, they're going to have more energy, they're going to live longer, they're going to be around for their grandchildren, they'll be able to sleep less, accomplish more, they'll feel more energy during the day, they'll think better, those type of things that would be the inspiration side.
Okay,
so when
you
have a list of 4, 5, 6, or 10 of those, and you can see that's where they're at, then you can kind of add those as you're persuading and motivating them. Okay? Does that help?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, good. You bet. Any other questions out there?
Well, so this homework is supposed to be based on our day-to-day jobs, like what you do for a living?
Yeah, whatever. Well, you take the main thing you're attempting to persuade or influence, if it's a home-based business or your job or whatever it is. It could even be your children. These techniques will work across the board. That whatever the main thing is that you're trying to attempt to persuade people to do, whether it's a job or a home-based business, or maybe you want to do them for both, is what you would make that list for.
Okay.
So if they're in desperation, do we start off working with desperation and then try to work them towards inspiration?
Okay, good question. Really good question. Now, first of all, when they're in inspiration, you always, always, always stay in inspiration.
Sure.
Never touch desperation, ever. It'll repel them faster than anything. But you bring up a really good point. When they're in desperation, you always want to crank up the pain and build the worst-case scenario, because that's where they're at, that's what they're thinking. And once they acknowledge that they have a challenge or they have a problem, it is good to eventually buffer it with a little inspiration and give them a little hope. So if someone's home is going into foreclosure, you know, yeah, you get kicked out, live on the streets, you know, there's no shelter, what are your children going to do, what's going to happen, yeah, banks are that way. I mean, you build up the desperation, and once they realize, you know, you're right. A lot of people in that situation are in denial. It's not their fault. It's not their problem. The bank would never kick us out. Once they take ownership of that, then by all means, say, okay, well, you know, 5 years down the road, this is going to be a bump in the road. We're going to help restore your credit. We're going to get you into the house. We're going to help you out. You can buffer that desperation with inspiration, definitely. But only that way. We never go from inspiration to desperation. We go from desperation to.
So we start off by giving them all of the reasons why that they, all the options that they have, and work towards the inspiration. Start off with the desperation options. and explain them as they are, because, for instance, you could ride this one out and work towards what we're going to try to help you.
Exactly. And the main reason, when people are stuck in desperation, they're also usually stuck in blame. That, you know, it's not their fault, it's not the problem, it's not the big of a deal. So with the desperation reality, well, if we, the foreclosure example, well, if we don't do anything, what's going to happen? And by asking questions, well, you know, I guess I'm going to get kicked out, this is going to happen. And then, you know, crank up the desperation, and then buffer that with a little inspiration. Good question. Any other questions?
No, not for me.
All right. Well, think about it. That's about the main goal here. Go ahead, is there a question?
Yeah, let's talk about the past versus the future a little bit.
Okay.
I guess I would understand that if you talk about how their past was without your product, and how they're
the past are always worried about the past, and they tried it once before and it didn't work and this happened. The people that are stuck in the past are always stuck in worry. They're always worrying about something. What if this happened? What about this? What about that? Versus the future is more about the vision and what's going to happen in the future. They're not worried about the past. They've moved on. Is probably the biggest difference. I mean, you've met people, probably most family reunions, it's all about the past, and this happened, and they were wrong, and they're worried about this, and it could happen again. You know, that so-and-so, the salesperson, took advantage of me once, and now to them, everyone's going to take advantage of them. That's the past type of person.
And then do you try to help them not repeat the past?
Yeah, you've got to get them to start thinking of, in the persuasive situation, thinking about the future. Those that are stuck in worry, some of the best things you can do is, you know, you build the picture for the future. You know, that's the past. That's true. It happened. You know, let's move on. I'm sorry that happened to you. But when people are stuck in worry, worry diminishes actually with helping them make decisions. So you start getting them to make small decisions. Obviously, if you're going to jump off a bridge or a cliff, the longer you wait, the longer you think about it, the more you worry. And so your goal here is to get them to start making small decisions along the way, and each time they make a decision, we notice that the worry tends to diminish to where you've been thinking straight to make it easier to persuade them.
That's key.
All right. Any other questions? Now, remember, the resource website's ywhypersuasion.com. We'll take your questions. I think the recording worked this week. I don't know, we had some weird challenges. And then in the fall, we'll be moving to a webinar format, go to webinar. So we'll keep you posted on that. And, of course, we'll post instructions on ywhypersuasion.com. And if for some strange reason, sometimes I get stuck on airplanes. If for some reason I get stuck on an airplane and something happens, I'm not on a call, I'll post an audio on that website, too, for that week's call. Usually doesn't happen, but every once in a while some things happen, so I'll post it on that. All right? So with that, everyone, have a great week. Go out there and persuade with power, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good.
Bye-bye.
See ya.